right, nice job. Good set. Let's do some social kick.
Susan Morgan, what happened last week?
All right, here we go.
Yeah, so we're here. Now we're getting a different view, I guess, of our house. Luke wants to show off all the different angles of my home here.
What do you did a lot of work on.
To break in.
Done that. But tell us about the shot. What are we trying to get here?
I just wanted us to get a little bit of lighting on us and a little darker behind us. So we have consistent lighting here and we're seeing the four of us. So you're not seeing different parts of our body that is better to see our face.
There you go. You know? Exactly. Oh,
thanks, Luke.
And we have some, what's over here to the right? This bottle here, Luke.
Yeah. It's my favorite rum. It's from Guyana. It's El Dorado, the 15-year-old. So it's a bit sweet, little molasses. You have that on the rocks. And normally I have it in the freezer. So it's like comes out like a honey texture. And it's fantastic. And you guys had some in Trinidad, I believe.
Yeah, definitely.
I like a title that has a comma in it. You know, you pause right there. El Dorado, the 15-year-old.
You get it for sale in America and online.
Luke's the great.
Good. There you go. And in front here, we have some chocolates from Germany. My wife was at the World Cup out in Berlin. Yeah, Justin, what do you know about the Berlin World Cup results?
Nothing.
Luke,
I wonder why.
So all I know is from watching your wife's Instagram and seeing
how she knows more about it than I do already.
Checking out your wife's Instagram.
No, but Colleen was quite prominent on it, and she took a team from PASA, the age group was across there. So I was really interested to see how she and her swimmers were reacting to seeing the World Cup for the first time. And she just landed last night, right?
Yep.
It's just fresh off the plane. Basically.
Exactly. What happened in Berlin? I don't know. Why?
How come?
Because ISL was going on.
Yeah,
I don't care about the Berlin World Cup.
What'd you think of round two, or what are we still? Match A, second competition, is that what it's called?
That one lit it up.
Yeah,
it was much more exciting than Indy. Yeah. Indy was cool because it was the first one,
sure.
But there was so much more energy in that building. Yeah. I don't know if it was the venue or the fact that it was in Italy or,
or just Mark Foster commentating.
Maybe it was Mark Foster. He sounds nice.
He does sound nice.
Yeah.
So...
it was incredible, though. So much energy in the pool. Obviously, two like really tight team races that really helped. And, man, fast swimming. Of course, Dressel being there was a big change. But week two brought all of the excitement that this pro swim league can bring. And it absolutely knocked it out of the park.
So you didn't miss the Decky not being there?
No.
It's interesting, right?
Would it have made it better? Yes.
Yeah. But
did I notice that she was gone?
Yeah.
No.
I saw it for the first time, on Sunday with you, John.
Justin, we watched it.
Fantastic. I can't wait for this weekend.
Yeah.
And it's the first time I've seen it.
What stood out for you, being your first time? And
the speed at which it worked out and how much it looked like an NCAA college meet and how much they pushed to have clubs against clubs. Like, Man U playing Tottenham. It really seemed like they got behind that. And... you know, there was definitely, they made an effort not to show the names of the swimmers and what times it does, much as the points they got to contribute towards a bigger goal of a team winning. And so they really pushed that. And you know what? Seeing the camaraderie of the team and cheering and how much they got into that, man, I wanted to be on deck.
Yeah,
didn't you?
It looks like a fun atmosphere to be on deck. I mean, it just, again, it like, when the energy is so strong and loud, it's like you hear musicians talk about how much fun it is, or comedians talk about how great it is to play like a really unique, small, intimate venue that just, you know, it just brings out the experience. And it numbs it out if you're in like a big arena. Yeah, then totally. I think it just seemed like it had that.
Big time.
It almost kind of felt like American Gladiators or or Guts.
There you go.
This sounds kind of like a weird comparison. Almost like American Ninja Warrior, just how they're just pumping through events. That's the best thing I can think of at the top of my head.
And it's nice that it's so dark around for the Gladiator point, so it really focuses on the arena, so you really do feel like you're in this arena and you're going out to battle and it's two against two. It's very hella exciting. Can you imagine how pumped up they were? Probably hard to survive those crazy races.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, one thing that you brought up was, you know, focusing on the points and not the times. Yeah. And I know you even brought it up when we were watching it. And I've seen on the comment boards that, you know, I think Pure Swim fans, you know, they want to know everyone's time, everyone's splits and things like that. Are you okay with them not doing that? Do you think as they improve, and I even saw improvements from the, you know, just how they're presenting it on TV from week one to week two. Do you think that would enhance it more? You think just having the points in the top time is good enough?
Again, I'm going to compare it to like the Premier League of soccer. I really care if Man U beats Tottenham. And mm-hmm. I don't care so much to know about all of the players in the team or how many what stats they got in the team. I do, but I really care about more team winning. So I think they're really trying to build this whole pro team against team competing. Because I think that's the audience they're going for, not so much our audience, because we're going to watch it anyway. And so our audience naturally wants to know the splits and wants to know how they're competing against each other and where they're at. Oh my God, Dressel went 21-3 in the third race. That's amazing for us. Does my dad care about that? No, my dad cares that Dressel won to get the points to have or to be the MVP and almost get his team to win. That's what he cares about, and that's what he's going for, I think. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be hard for me.
I think some of that context, though, is kind of cool to add a supplementary commentary in the broadcast, and I think that would really set it off.
They didn't add much.
Yeah, because, I mean, what we talked about before we got on was 10 years ago, the American record in the 50 free short course was 21-1. And Dressel went 21-3 in his third 50 in 6 minutes. I mean, that's crazy. So but just like little nuggets like that, you know, that I think would really help throughout the broadcast. Mm-hmm. And again, I mean, they're trying to cater to a general sporting audience. I don't think that's the audience that they need to go for.
Yeah.
That's neither here nor there. That's what they're committing to right now. We'll see how it goes in season one. But yeah, broadcast quality is getting better.
Oh, yeah.
The team that's there, getting insights from the deck is really good.
Sure.
I mean, you're really starting to see an even growing disparity between the haves and the have-nots.
Mm-hmm.
You've got two really elite teams, two teams, there's a huge separation. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't know, it doesn't take that many points to then get in the final. So
I got confused by what teams were going to make it.
So what do you mean?
Who was in what? I could still couldn't tell much separation and difference in the lanes. Like, maybe they should color the lanes differently or have names on what's going on. It was hard to follow who was in what lanes, to be quite honest.
Yeah,
better labeling or better coloring.
I think they're still working on that.
Like red suits and red hats.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Right?
That could
be helpful. That could be really helpful, yeah. Well, and we talked about this last time and I finally watched it live for the first time this past Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about how small the logos are, right? I could barely tell. And, like, you know, you get that flash of, like, I guess they have, like, the name and the team right before the take your mark.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you only have so little time. And you can't memorize all those lanes beforehand because, you know, you're just so intrigued by the racing. But maybe, again, like Luke was saying, maybe perfect color cap, right suit because, you know, an arena, a Speedo, Finesse, whatever. They can definitely make it suit the color, right? I mean,
play well on TV? I think it played well on TV.
Yeah,
good camera angles.
I thought it was, but I like the idea of the colors in the lanes.
Yeah,
I
think
not
too.
Like NFL style where they light up the lane, or like we see the graphics on it for, you know, meets on Worlds or the Olympics. But I mean, literally lights in the pool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that I didn't think about that. Yeah,
I think something like that. Some light, like you said, some different colors for the whole team, so you can pick it out. I still think it's an error on the ISL on having different lanes per sessions. I think just like you do the drawing for what lanes you're in for day one, and that's your same lanes for day two. It's not switching from day one to day two. I think it's a little tricky there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think, like you said, the production of having, you know, the name of the athlete and their name in the lane, like they do for some of the races, they need to do that for every race. And then I don't think it will be that big of a change to put whatever they have the two columns after each one when they show the results, the times for everyone and then the points for everyone. And then I think that will appease everyone a little bit more.
Put their name on their back. Like in football, they all look the same. Never helmet on. You can't tell in American football.
Manu, dude, right on his forehead. Right? You know, what else do you need from these people?
But you get that in some sports. You can have some kind of name. And you know what? You can tell they're still trying to work it out themselves. Did you notice in the skins meet, Caleb was in lane, in the first round, he was in lane 7 or 8, right?
Yeah.
And then in the top 4, he stood up in lane 7 or 8 to go again, and he had to be asked to move to a different lane. And he was a bit confused with that, but he adapted really well.
Yeah.
But then we got lost, like, obviously we knew it was Caleb because we're swimmers and we knew his tattoo and everything. But when he got moved, like, label him better so we can know where he's at, you know? And also give us the stakes. Like, do you realize that if this person, who tied for third,
You had Ben Proud, and then you had the guy from Greece that I can never pronounce his name, Christian GK.
So realize that if he all of a sudden got second, then that would have broken up and could have won the meet for Candy
Condos. They didn't hit that point at all.
Yeah.
I know, that was frustrating.
Huge.
Yeah, and I was a little bit confused maybe by the point breakdown because I was like trying to figure it out in my head. But I think lighting that up would have been like, oh, wow.
That's
like,
I know, I kept waiting for them to say, okay, so now this doesn't matter because mathematically,
it's
like, they've won. And
right.
Just won. won. Yeah. They didn't make that
and
point.
And Caleb is just swimming for honor and for his, to stamp his authority. You know,
for the MVP, right. MVP. Just for points later on, or why points now might help out later on.
Yeah, I mean, you can see, like, you know, James Gibson was celebrating, all of Energy Stands all happy, and Kelly Condors weren't. And
MVP.
Like, but they didn't say it.
I love that MVP is gender neutral. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
And did you notice the balance was females in the MVP race over the males?
Yeah, because when we were watching, I noticed that right away. And I remember, like, I was like, dude, do you notice, like, it's a lot of the female swimmers that are actually, you know, you'll have, like,
finally,
like, a big chunk of females. And then I think you said, like, maybe till 11th, maybe by the end of the meet, we had a guy, you know, and
other,
like,
than LeClos and Dressel, they were the top ones.
Right. Yeah, that's great.
It's great to see the neutralness.
Yeah, one other thing that I think is interesting is how in between during the breaks, they go to the managers or the coaches and they kind of show them turning in these changes.
Yeah.
Do we like that?
I want to hear some more of that. I want to hear behind the scenes. In cricket, in the IPL, in your Premier League, you actually get to speak to them during the match. You get to speak to the athletes and the coaches and get their insights. So John, tell me what you're thinking about here, that with lineup. Oh, well, and you're seeing the swimming. So, well, you know, it's not unexpected for Caleb to do this. It's nice to get some behind the scenes commentary and patch it in.
Yeah. But it's not that, though. I mean, I guess you're saying you want to go beyond. I mean, them just showing the lineup changes, it's just, I don't know. I guess it's somewhat interesting. You're showing them on deck, right?
For us, again.
But you want to see it go maybe another step beyond.
Some more insights, more commentary from them. And get to know the coaches a bit more, like how come they chose these coaches. Who is James Gibson?
Mm-hmm.
Who is the Italian coach? I'm not aware of the Italian coach.
Yeah.
Right, for Energy Standard.
No. Yeah,
it's James Gibson, right?
Gibson.
No, sorry.
Gibson's Energy Standard.
But he's not the coach.
Or is he the manager?
He's the
general
manager.
But he's the one that they're always showing, which is interesting, versus they don't show Kraselberg or Sandino.
I didn't see it,
at least, like, interviewing them. Because like, they are Gibson.
Yeah,
so
DC tried, and they were always showing
Gallagher, right? The coach, right?
I'd love to hear Greg Troy comments on Zimmerman.
Well, what do you mean? So, like, Greg Troy's the coach, and Lizak's there. GM, right?
Gibson's the GM for
I thought he was
Energy
both.
Standard. Maybe he's both. Maybe I'm mistaken there, but I do know he's the GM because I was deep diving rosters earlier. Because
they focus mostly, like, on the deck, they're focusing on coaches,
right? Yeah. And he seems to be coaching, so maybe he is dual GM and coach there.
Two big takeaways. I love the camaraderie of all the nations come together and everyone getting together.
Right.
You know, you had Mary Sophie Harvey, who's a Canadian, high-fiving all the other athletes. You had Chad and Sarah and Femke. That's three different nations there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was wonderful to see it all come together. It's great for our sport. And then you and I, we talked about this. You definitely saw Energy Standard. They trained together.
They were having a blast.
They knew each other well. Flora, Ben, they all trained together. Boom.
Yeah. So let's talk about the actual swimming. Luke, it was your first time seeing it. What stood out to you in the from the actual swims themselves?
I thought they worked hard. I thought the swimming was fast.
You thought they worked hard?
That's
what you said. You thought
Bravo, ISL. You tried hard, though.
He's
got a few kids. He's got to give them the VG version.
I'm meaning they didn't seem like they gave up. They really went to, like Cecil Manadou swam a 50 breaststroke. I mean, he really, really tried to get in there. You know, like, he didn't just go there for the points. They worked hard.
John, what stood out to you?
I cannot disagree. They appeared to work hard. There's no one denying that. I think
racing in half two hours. That's what I mean.
You're cut off. I mean, the takeaways for me, it's impressive to see them go from Indy across the country, get up there and race. A lot of them doing, you know, as good as races as they did before. But then again, some surprises. I think Sjostrom losing that 100 fly right off the back to Kelsey, that was surprising.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe that, you know, is a little bit of fatigue, is a little bit of strategy, a little. I mean, I don't think she's trying to lose, but it's like, hey, I got 8 swims here in 2 sessions. I need to conserve a little more than 8, I'm sure. And then another takeaway that I had was in the 400 free, We've been talking about since the beginning. Why are they doing 2-2-2-2?
Yeah.
Why are they paired next to each other? And I think for the first time I saw Titmus and who was it? Morgalis.
Mm-hmm.
They got 1-2 in that 400, and the commentators were like, "Oh, Titmus is dying. Morgalis is catching her." I'm pretty sure Titmus was letting Morgalis ride her hip all the way to second place there. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting to see a little pacing and some drag occurring.
Like
and
it's cycling almost.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So a little extra strategy.
So I was like, oh, I never thought that, you know, it was in the back of my head, but I wasn't sure if that would ever really happen. Mm-hmm. But I think it did here. So those were my main takeaways, just the amount of races, some great athletes. I mean, Caleb was amazing. And, you know, A for effort all around everyone.
They tried really hard.
Well, I mean, you talk about the travel. They should have taken the International Space Station. Neil Tyson says it only takes 15 minutes to cross the ocean.
There you go. You've been listening to Joe Rogan some more, huh?
Hey, that's travel steroids. We'll get into that later.
Yeah.
I was wrong about Dressel. I thought there was no way he was going faster than 20.7. And I guess he was fast. So I was wrong about that. Yeah, he lit it up. I mean, there's just certain people that stand out in this format. And
yeah.
There's some people that suck at this format, you know? And again, it could be like the time of year. It could be, it's a ton of racers.
Ton of races, short course meters.
2 days in a row. It's a go.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's not easy to swim, essentially. I mean, it's a dual meet, right?
And they,
it's like,
those events come up quick.
That's what I noticed.
It was, like, which 15, I love watching. Like, those boom, boom, boom. You don't even get to watch the walkouts because they're talking about it and there's another one.
Right? Yeah. No, it's crazy. I think I wasn't as blown away, though, by the times from Dressel aside. Mm-hmm. There wasn't anything that stood out to me time-wise from week two.
Yeah.
You know, it was more about the competition. And, I mean, I don't disagree with putting points on or times on the screen. But it didn't matter, you know. Like, and honestly, I was surprised by that. I mean, even Dressel gave some commentary saying what he's excited about is that the
racing.
It's about the racing and the times don't matter, which, I mean, it's not really true. I mean, it's like, I guess in this format it is, but that's not the only place where time doesn't matter, right? There's other dual meets and point formats. In the Olympic final, the time doesn't matter, right? Yeah. Like, so, I mean, there's other formats like that, but you know, it was the first time that I've watched something and like literally not cared what the times were. The only thing that I noticed was the 21.3 from Dressel on rep number 3, which was insane.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I really enjoy watching the pure sprinters die and the skins. Yeah. Super fun.
Except Caleb.
Women's skins was really interesting, actually.
What she did in her last 15. Oh, yeah. In her last first 25.
Yeah, really, that was true.
So,
yeah.
And she kind of flopped in a little bit and then just breathed right off the bat. And I think she was just kind of like going for the ride and then just kind of.
They were
like,
having fun. Yeah, and their teammates.
Messing around a little bit.
The relays confused me. Didn't quite know what was going on, and I only was interested because I wanted to see what Caleb would do, because for those to remember, everybody went male, male, female, female, except for Caleb's team, they went male, female, female, male.
Mm-hmm.
So Caleb had to make back a 25-meter almost.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
So that kept me interested. I knew it was not going to happen, but otherwise, I didn't. The relays got confused. I didn't know what swimmers were what and what team and where it was going.
Yeah,
it was
like, I think what also is a little challenging too, I believe there's also like eight, they're using all 8 lanes, so it makes it a little bit hectic as well.
I imagine.
Yeah.
So what do you think about having 2 teams, like 2 relays per team?
I think I like it, honestly, because I think the points, you know, when it comes down to the point strategy, right, I think it makes it a little bit more interesting.
You gotta be deep.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, I mean, that was a key lineup blow, though, for Cali. When
Go Condors.
They could have swapped Natalie Hines, and I forget who the other freestyle was, but, I mean, they could have gone one, too.
Absolutely.
For sure. Which, I mean, lesson learned. Lizak called that out on the broadcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, I think, so this is gonna be kind of funny with the league, is, you know, it's a profession, so there's gonna be people like, I mean, I don't know if you can get like released in the middle of the season, but I mean, you know, like there's gonna be some people that get fired because they're not good at this format, or maybe there's coaches that aren't great at the lineups.
I'm excited. What happens year two? Is there a draft? Do you get cut?
Are you with
these teams forever?
Yeah, I mean, do they disband some teams and like redistribute talent?
Yeah,
can we do a fantasy league on it?
Yeah, we definitely can. I guarantee that.
I mean, that's one of the things that makes the NFL so compelling is that there's parity year after year. And, exactly. And it's different than the other leagues where there's like new teams, salary cap.
Like, do the Centurions, if they're in last, get first pick?
Were the contracts for these public?
I don't think so. I don't remember seeing anything.
See, that's
about
it. Was like all free agency, and that's how you ended up with some of the swimmers like affiliated with their club or with their country, even. You know, Gunnar Bentz is the only American who's swimming.
Yeah, I was reading that you're like. Like the U.S. teams pretty much had first dibs at the Americans or something like that. Like there was you know, presidents were trying to get you for your country.
There were no big sponsorships. I didn't see much sponsors on them.
Mm-hmm. Unlike those signs with the teams, they were some, but it was like, stuff I never heard of.
Like Mirapools or whatever. That's like a normal one.
Mirtha.
That's like the only one I really recognize if I can read.
And the irony is it wasn't a Mirtha pool this summer.
What is the significance of the cities?
No.
And how come London is the only city that's in the name for the European teams? Yeah. Like, why is there an LA and a Cali and a DC in a Brooklyn team?
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever, New York.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why are the teams the name? Yeah. I don't understand. Why the venues?
I mean,
California meet when there's two California
teams?
Yeah. It makes no sense.
Yeah. Who's the home meet for Louisville, Texas? Like, I mean, so if the argument was we're going to base a team in D.C., Ledecky's from D.C., do it like the AAF, they got disbanded, which the way that they drafted was those local teams got first pick at the college players who were elite in their area. So, like, you had Aaron Murray playing for the Atlanta team because he was the Georgia quarterback. Yeah. And, you know, so in that sense, I would get it. You know, put the California swimmers out there, put the Texas swimmers in Texas, et cetera.
Go to swimming nations or swimming towns or swimming cities. But Dallas, Texas, swimming town, maybe.
Yeah, that's true. Why didn't they make it like, that would have been cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Indy.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, the Cali Condors makes no sense.
Yeah, because it's people from like Florida, like.
Well, it's just like you have a lot of, like you said, city LA. I don't know. Yeah. It's confusing. It's I agree. I think some consistency there, some consistency with the logos, some consistency with team colors could have been helpful for them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it all pans out
first season.
Justin, any other time takeaways or other takeaways from ISL that you had?
It's very fun to watch it live. Mm-hmm. It is fast paced for sure.
Live.
So,
oh, just live,
like just on the TV. I will say, as big swimmers as we are, and I'm not as good with the international names. I mean, even Luke, I was like, "Who's this person?"
There were a lot of
people we didn't know.
People probably didn't get second swims at Worlds.
Well, I even said on an earlier episode that Scasoli, when we talked about him, was the guy with the wedge issue, but it's not like that's he's the breaststroker. It's Sabiani. Yeah.
It's good for me to get more educated.
Right, and we get to see more of these swimmers on an international stage. But also, it's fun to watch people swim off events. Like, we were talking about Manadu going for it in the 50 breast. I mean, it's hilarious to watch. I mean, let's be honest here. He's not the most natural breaststroker. But it's still fun to watch all these people swim with these off events that you wouldn't see in an international stage where it's a little bit more serious. You know, it's more for, like, the history of the sport. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Seeing the joy they had when it came out of the water.
Right,
they were so happy. You can tell a lot of these swimmers didn't swim NCAAs.
Mm-hmm,
they didn't swim that college environment.
Right, yeah.
So they should have experienced that for the very first time. Or, you know, Sarah didn't do it. Chad didn't do it.
Yeah,
and they get to come out and they get a high five and be a teammate and just race. I mean, you think about Chad swims on South Africa. They don't have a big national team. Sarah, Sweden's another big national team. And they're going to come out and it's, I must say, it's fantastic for these kids. Yeah.
Definitely.
And I mean, swimming at conference meets and at NCAA is like so much fun. It's different than any other meet you ever swim at. I think it's a cool flavor for that for these swimmers.
And the other thing that was kind of surprising, maybe I need to update myself on the names for Energy Standard. Energy Standard is killing everybody. Like, let's be real. Like, Cali Condors by the end.
They had that DQ standard, right?
Really
should have won by even more.
Well, they still got points for that.
They did?
Yeah, some guy in Swimtime wrote a really good article about the points breakdown and how the league didn't they've made some weird judgments in the way that the scoring works. Yeah, so like,
kudos to the coverage in Swimtime.
Right.
They're doing a good job with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, that
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. The Energy Standard, the fact they were killing it, because if you were to tell me like put these names out are just kind of the best names on the list, I would think Cali Condors would be the team, and also that's the team I'm rooting for.
All right.
Go Condors.
Do you think, so we were talking about going to see it in Vegas, right, for the finals. do you think it would be as cool to see it live? Like, we saw the fantastic graphics and the overlays and the screens and the layers. Wonder what it was like for the real, the live environment.
It looks like a blast. The DJ on but deck, we know people on their dancing. I mean, I think it, yeah, I'm not sure what the commentary is like in the stadium and things like that. But it looks like a blast. Right. So I'm excited to check one of these out.
And I'm curious also, I know people who are fans of individual swimmers, is there a fan base for each team that's starting to develop within like the swimming community? Mm-hmm. I'm very curious about that.
They're still in merch,
like, you know, like, for
certain
example,
teams are, for
like,
sure.
For example, I'm a Warriors fan, but I'm also a Steph Curry fan, you know. I like Kobe Bryant, but I'm not a Lakers fan.
You like Kobe Bryant?
I do like Kobe Bryant, actually.
The Mamba.
He's the best player I ever watched growing up. Outside of Steph Curry.
What do you got, Brian? I see you in depth LeBron. There.
Okay.
And Katie.
Moving on.
NBA.
Moving on to next week.
Team Mako Saturday.
Ryan Held. Matt Grievers.
Oh, that's a good team.
Nathan Adrian.
Short course team.
Who's the fourth one? Chadwick. Who you got for skins? You get two.
Held. And probably Chadwick.
Held and Chadwick. So you're sitting Adrian.
Held.
All right.
But
I'm going with Nathan.
I haven't seen it. I will say this. Adrian did go an 18 against me in a master swim meet. So I know he can go fast in season. He always catches 48. So maybe I just haven't seen him do short course enough recently to realize
what shape he's in.
Yeah. He's in a 48 long course 100 free shape every minute of his life. He's at 18 yards. Maybe he
keep
he
in
will
mind
be good at
also
skins.
On the bench are Peroni and Tom Shields.
Wow. I think Peroni.
And Sunscar, who was also on Cal's tour.
Can Peroni do a 50?
He can go.
That's tough.
Yeah. That's a tough one, isn't it?
But actually, I think he might have been pretty good in the 50, like for Indiana, like at NC's.
Peroni?
Yeah, I think
I mean, he's a 50 to 200 guy. I don't think he's as good at the 50, but he's got the range.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. I actually don't know. Maybe.
So it depends on what they're swimming in the rest of the meet. But yeah. When I saw that roster, I went, oh, man, that's
what's
right before?
That team looks good. The women aren't as strong. But 200.
No, but it doesn't matter.
Right before.
That is 4x1 free.
What?
Before that, it's a 4x1 free mix, really.
Or is that?
Yeah.
Right
before the skins.
But then there's a break, and then there's two fly. So that's why Leclos
like
may never do. Because I'm intrigued if Leclos would do the skins, because I think he'd be pretty decent at it.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. But anyways, I think that's enough for ISL. And we got other things to talk about in the news.
Right.
We have some Russian doping scandal. We have some testosterone pellets. Luke, do you think Americans get a pass on doping? And by a pass, I mean are just glossed over more than other countries.
It's interesting that if you have a really fast, unbelievable swim, if a swimmer happens to split faster than Ryan Lochte in a 400 IM coming home and she's female, immediately the suspicions, and that's right. But if an American swimmer wins the mile by 25 meters, all of a sudden, there's no suspicions on her. If an American swimmer can win 8 gold medals, there are no suspicions on them. But if that was to happen in reverse to other swimmers, could you imagine if somebody came and if Malik goes and swims in Tokyo and wins the 100 and 200 fly and the 200 IM and was on a relay, they would be like, oh, where this guy come from all of a sudden? Yeah. There would be a how come this quick rise? They wouldn't be as accepted as an Australian or an American. Look at Petey. No suspicion of drugs of Petey.
Mm-hmm.
He's stacked, he wins by a mile, he's doing things unbelievable, not once mentioned at all. I'm not saying he is at all, he man is a phenom, but could you imagine if this was a Russian or a Chinese swimmer?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that's you're guilty by association and the environment you're in. So they are given a bite, and we've had, I mean, the last positive was the Australian female, right?
Yeah,
Shana Jack.
And then an American, and then we've had issues. We've had suspicions of problems down in USC, right? Unfortunately, a lot of swimmers there, and that's lost over. So I'm just saying, there definitely is a bias when it comes to the media, and we only hear American media. We don't hear the Chinese media. We don't hear the Russian media. So it comes from that as that. So it's what we're exposed to as well. So forgive me if it's no offense to anybody. I'm just saying I do think that you need to look at different perspectives. And that's why it was nice to hear Mark Foster commentate in here, because Mark Foster commentates for the BBC when they do the Olympic coverage. And when I watched Olympics, I heard the non-American coverage on NBC. And even that coverage of hearing, watching the Olympics from a non-American perspective, not rowdy, you get a whole different perspective on just how these athletes are performing.
Sure.
The Canadians. Mm-hmm. So imagine when it comes down to very sensitive topics as suspicions of drugs.
Definitely.
What do you guys comment on?
I don't know. My question is, Brian, what do you think of what what Dwyer tested positive for? Do you think that's something that could just happen without you knowing, or something that you think is acceptable?
Let's backtrack a little bit. What is this pellet thing? Because I'm still a little bit confused about it.
I mean,
it's a little strange, yeah.
I'm not a scientist or an expert.
Let's clarify that first.
But at least I read on it that it's like a small incision and you drop like rice-sized pellets, about 10 rice. Mm-hmm. Like the each pellet is about the size of a grain of rice. Mm-hmm. And you drop it in your skin and then there's like a slow release. I don't know how long you leave it in. Mm-hmm. But the surface, I mean, the word testosterone doesn't sound, even if it was prescribed, it doesn't sound like the type of thing that I go, yeah, that's probably all right.
But did he pull a testosterone?
I shouldn't look into that any further.
I don't know if there was a medical issue. There's something that's a little bit interesting to me about this thing is that he was absolved of some guilt because there was a prescription for the treatment. And so, I mean, look, with all of these cases, we'll never know what the actual truth is. We talked about Sun Yang before, and we don't know what the truth was there. We'll find out in the live stream. Mm-hmm. But with Connor, I mean, I don't know. It doesn't sound good that it's testosterone is one big thing. But then there's been other things, clenbuterol in multiple sports. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
There's, you know, of course, there are medical benefits to it. But there could also be, I mean, like there are athletic benefits to taking some of these things or to, you know, receiving the benefits of them. But there's also perhaps some like a medical need that it's used for as well.
Is there no way of him having declared that and testing that before and saying this is what it's going
to
do?
Again, that goes back to the testosterone thing. It's like, I mean, it's a banned substance,
mm-hmm.
right? And I mean, not banned because we all natural testosterone is naturally present, but like. I can't imagine filling out a temporary use exemption, like a TUE for testosterone. Nor would I feel like right about, okay, the application and the procedure that it requires, that it just sounds to me like, okay, so you're going to cut me open and you're going to put little pills inside me.
But he asked if this stuff was legal to the person, according to the article, and he said, yeah, they did a Google search and said this is legal, called a Google search. That seems so wishy-washy.
Yeah, and so this has long been my gripe with WADA and USADA, and I'm not familiar with any other countries. But like the support for athletes.
That's
so
right.
I lived the life of filling out whereabouts forms.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I got knocked by USA Swimming once because I missed a test.
Mm-hmm.
And it was during my 60-minute window. So for anybody who doesn't know, I think Cody Miller explained this really well in one of his vlogs. An athlete who has ranked, I think it's in the top 50 in the world. And every NGB is a little bit different. National governing body is a little bit different. But once you're on the list, you're always on the drug list or the testing list until you retire.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that every athlete gets tested the same amount. The best athletes in the world, say in your top 10 in the world, get tested a lot more frequently
mm-hmm.
than if you're in the 10 to 25 and 25 to 50. But you have to complete on every quarter, you have to look at the next quarter and fill in a 60-minute time window in every day confirming where you're going to be with an address and what time of day you're going to be there.
Oh.
And so what for most athletes do is they do it around their routine.
They guess. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, if they have workout every day at 6 a.m., then a lot of them do it at 6 a.m. at the pool.
Yep.
That way they know they're going to be there. And, you know, you only have to change it if you're going to travel. And you do have to change it if you're going to travel to a meet. If you change your weekend plans and decide to go 2 hours away to the beach for an afternoon.
We're going to give you practice off next Monday.
You need to look at your calendar for that day that you submitted, and you have to give them 24 hours advance notice. It's tedious. It's hard. It's not easy. Yeah. You know, you miss three of them.
What happens?
Yeah, and so well, you miss three of them. It's a positive test. Mm-hmm. But what happened to me is I missed one of them. And the reason I missed one legitimately is because I was in the basement watching sports with a good friend of mine, and I didn't have cell signal in his basement. Wow. And I didn't get all the text messages and calls from my roommate who was at our apartment when the drug tester showed up. Wow. Who was trying to get in hold of me, because when the drug tester shows up, you have 60 minutes until you can physically show at that place. And they waited for me there, but I didn't know, right? And yeah. So from that moment on, USA Swimming was all over me about filling out my forms and making sure that they were correct and all this stuff.
Did I tell you Georgia's story of the same thing?
No, all I can think of is, did you get that memo about those TPS reports?
TPS.
Office Space?
George Rovell was staying by me, and I'm here. It was 6 a.m. I'm hearing a doorbell ring, doorbell ring, doorbell ring, doorbell ring. I'm like, who the heck is coming at 6 a.m.? So I go into my kitchen, and there are two old people standing outside my kitchen door in my driveway. They had let themselves in, and there's two old people standing and just looking at me. I was like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. And I open a door, can I help you? And they introduce themselves and show their ID.
Sir? Take your pants off.
George is
something to insert in your thigh.
He had on his eye mask and he had on his head his earmuffs, and he didn't hear it. I'm lucky I heard it. They were about to leave.
And George lives with earmuffs?
Yeah.
Is it cold?
And eye mask? Like noise cancelling stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. Earplugs.
Yeah, gloves on, a scarf.
But it was that easy to have missed it.
Yeah,
for sure. I never tell you know where he lives in Trinidad. So his parents live in Trinidad at the top of this mountain up in almost the forest. Yeah. And he was on a boat and they showed up. They flew down to Trinidad. They found a way up to this address. This is really far in the country. Wow. In the middle of nowhere to find him. And he never thought that would happen. And he got a phone call from his mother and he said he drove so fast to get back to there. That was going to be a second missed one if he did it. Mm-hmm. He hasn't missed it. But yeah, it's a continuous story, but it happens all the time.
Yeah, I mean, so the point is, like, it's not an easy thing. And so I guess the devil's advocate to Connor's guilty is, and this isn't about, like, testosterone. I guess maybe the point that I'm going to make is that there's a lack of education for the athletes, and the what they're expected to do in this to maintain a clean sport is not a simple thing.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, you know, in the US we have the FDA and various, like, you know, health administrations that recommend what the proper diet is, there's many schools of thought about, like, the ketogenic diet and vegetarian and veganism and, like, you know, and supplements are the same way.
Yeah.
Where there's no governing body that authorizes any of it. And I don't know where the line is between what's performance enhancing and what's not performance enhancing. So, I mean, yeah, I took caffeine before I raced and I took creatine throughout the season to help build muscle.
Mm-hmm.
These things weren't naturally in my diet. I mean, I could have, you know, I mean, yeah, they were drinking coffee or, you know. So, like, those things I took expecting that they were enhancing my performance.
Sure. You were taking those performance enhancers, right? It also matches
the manufacturer, because you have to make sure the manufacturer doesn't have some tainted your product as well. So
yeah, and how am I going to know that? What if it got tainted? Right. And so, like, now I think there's better support for getting, like, independent lab tests for batches of supplements. Yeah. But still, you can have a tainted batch of a supplement that's been lab tested. And, like, if you have a sticker on the top that says lab tested, how are you going to trust that? And if you, and like, we've had athletes who are, who get banned, even maybe reduce bans, but get hit with something by taking a banned substance that then they were able to prove was, like,
she went back and tried to sue Advocare, or did sue Advocare.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, and then before that, Kicker Wenzel sued Hammer Nutrition and won, like, a ton of money.
Yep.
So, I mean, like, it's not a new thing. Mm-mm. It's not an easy thing. And there's a ton of swimmers out there, and other sports too, but there's a lot of supplements. There's a lot of swimmers who are out there, like, taking things.
Yeah, they take all
and
types
they're
of
and stuff. They're towing that line between what's legal and what's on the banned list. And I'm just saying, like, that it's always moving, it's always arbitrary. Shifting.
Yeah.
And it's not easy, it's not an easy world to navigate.
Big time. That's what he said. He says here he thought he was taking a supplement prescribed by his dietitian, and he just didn't do the due diligence, but he didn't know he was taking testosterone, according to the article.
Yeah.
The article says he wanted to take a supplement to help his mental health.
Yeah, and
so your point is quite valid.
Yeah, and I think, and that's why in these cases it's so hard it's to hard. Say. Like,
you don't know what was presented.
On the surface level, does the headline sound really bad? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But also, I mean, I've met Connor. I knew his parents. I met him at swim meets and stuff when we overlapped. I was at Auburn, he was at Florida. Like, everything about him, and it just doesn't matter that, like, good people don't cheat, but yeah. It's just like, I don't know, you know, does he strike me as the kind of guy who would cheat? I don't know him that well, but no, I mean, it didn't. I thought he had a lot of performances that were clean, so, like, you know,
you don't know.
It's really hard to know.
And back to what I asked Luke originally. So I was with the Chinese camp for multiple months with Sun Yang and all that, and if we, you know, back to your point about how complicated it is. I mean, he tested positive for a heart medication that was legal the year before it got banned. And he has a diagnosed heart issue that he takes medication for. Mm-hmm. So he was, you know, not aware of this change, or his camp was not aware of this change or how much medication he could take. He tested positive at a competition that was at this competition where he won by like 30 seconds in the mile. So it is very tough for athletes to stay on top of it. And unfortunately, and this is, you know, an issue with China and Russia, that they do have that reputation, but things happen. It is confusing. And I think that's where it does get tricky on what should, you know, be thrown against the athlete and what should just be made as 100%, you know, they're guilty when there are a lot of gray lines in it. And I do think, as much as we want to throw the athletes under the bus and, you know, people should know better, the governing bodies aren't as clear with it, but it is very hard on their part too, because there are so many different things coming out and there is so much changing there. And like I said, just the fact, the pure point of what is decided as a legal performance enhancing substance and what's an illegal one is interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how they make these decisions. Like you said, caffeine, the biggest one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Probably just because it's like, how can we ban this? It's everywhere.
Right.
But we know that does enhance performance.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to see the ISL, if the ISL has taken such a strong stance against people that have been convicted or whatever of a doping violation aren't welcome in our league. Which I like the idea. I have some reservations about it because, you know, who's to say
things
that,
happen, right?
Like, you know, that the trial goes the right way and actually shows the truth for some of these athletes. There's certainly people that have gotten banned that probably were fine, you know, were clean.
Yeah.
But what I think they should do is take some of the, if there's proceeds and some of the distribution, and put it back into drug or like education and support for supplements, like, you know, for WADA, or have a partnership or something like that.
Something, right?
I think it'd be cool to say, like, okay, well, we put a line in the sand, but here's what we're doing to make it better for all the athletes.
Sure. Yeah. I think it's a very bold thing that they're doing.
And by that, I mean, like, support independent lab testing for everybody who participates in ISL or something like that to help them better, like, stay on top of the things that they're taking, or, you know, to feel more confident in it. Because, I mean, look, we had a dog when I was little. I didn't grow up in a dog family. We had a dog, and we had one of those, like, shock collars on the dog, right? With an invisible fence.
You ever put it on yourself?
No, but
the, my sister.
But the theory is, like, you put an invisible fence, you bury it all around the perimeter of your yard, and you put the collar on the dog, and you train them where the border is, and they can run around the yard all fine until they get to the border. That way you don't have to put up a real fence. Well, my dog never got it. My dog thought, as soon as that collar came out, that she was running out into a minefield.
You got it.
And it scared the crap out of her. That is what it's like taking supplements as an athlete. You're playing with fire.
But what if it's
you don't know for sure that, like, okay, well, I'm within the rules, but if I go, how close am I to the boundary? I don't know.
But you are more likely to take it when you know it's state-sponsored and state-protected. When a state is protecting you and the state is modifying results and protecting you, as we saw in an article recently.
Yeah, you wanted to talk about what that showed? Or, I mean, even going back to maybe Icarus and things like that? Because I think that all ties in pretty close together.
Sochi Olympics and the lab that was manipulating the tests and changing results. And the article that came out today with thousands of Russian tests were meant to be manipulated and changed to protect high-profile former and current athletes across all events. And that's absolutely something that can happen. And looking at Icarus, for instance, this is a documentary that won, was nominated for Academy Award, at least.
Yeah, documentary. Exactly. You can see it on Netflix.
But yeah, that's, so I was about to ask, well, why are athletes, why do they feel the need to drug? Why do they feel the need to take these shortcuts? And obviously there's some very obvious answers, but also it's because it's a state-sponsored thing and it's told it's okay. Or there's pure ignorance and they don't know any better for themselves, they're not educated, or the state doesn't bother to tell them. With the governing bodies.
I think that's a tough one. And I think with, thanks, man. Russia and Icarus brought up so many things, from athletes appearing to not know. And this goes back to even like Shirley, is it? Babashaw. Like,
what happened to Shirley Babashaw?
exactly. Back then, from my understanding, Russian athletes were being given performance enhancing steroids and just saying, hey, here are your vitamins, take your vitamins. And these athletes weren't even aware that they were doping back then. Okay, so you have state sponsored doping in that regard. Then you have in Russia where they're changing, knocking the caps off in Sochi, switching out the vials and things like that. So there's different ways that it seems that these different countries have gone about for this.
The East Germans to the Chinese in 1994, to the Russians of Sochi 2004, to the Americans. Sorry.
So I don't know.
To the Americans of what era? There was an era of American doping. Wow. Which era would you pick?
That took me a moment to like hear it. Yeah.
Call them out, Luke.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Come on, historian. Come on.
But anyways, by the way,
that's the problem as well. Like, it's really dangerous to call out suspicions that's unfounded and that's libel and that's terrible to do. But at the same time, there are people who are worried to call out superpowers and the people of the money and the power. So there's a hard catch 22. Go ahead. But I got very nervous just now because of the libel and also because of the
some of them are concerned. But then you have we saw it at Worlds this summer. You have swimmers who are taking a really strong stance against Sun Yang.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mean, regardless of the results of the CAS hearing, I don't know that it'll sway their opinion, but I mean, I don't know. It could change our perspective and maybe they don't look so good anymore. Maybe they don't look so, noble.
I got an interesting question. Would it make sense to just allow doping? Would that be fair?
That goes on. Isn't that
SNL's Super Olympics?
Oh, yeah.
Where? I mean, I think
we'll
get into my ideal sporting event here shortly.
Yeah, baseball?
Super Olympics.
I want to hear more.
Give me all the testosterone.
Yeah, steroids. But like, yes. So the steroid era in baseball was awesome. Like, I loved the summer of '98.
Oh, I remember that vividly.
And watching Sosa and McGuire too young thrash to remember. Baseballs. Sosa and McGuire. Yeah, I mean, like.
Sega and Seiko?
Bonds was later. Canseco was earlier. Come on, let's dial it in.
America's game. That's all right, Luke.
Yeah.
It's not for you.
But that was super fun. Other
names? Let's get back to cricket.
Yeah. Okay. But and yet we have like innovation doping with the wedge and with
lane lines.
Come on, tech suits.
Yeah, I mean,
let's be real. Yeah.
So we allow those things. Yeah. I mean, again, those things are like fair across.
Is there drug testing in the NFL?
Is there drug testing in the NFL? There is, but I think it's all self done, and most of it seems to be like more marijuana and recreational stuff than anything that people test positive for. But some people get popped for PEDs. Mm-hmm. So
where would you put your pellets?
Brian, you know where I'm going to put mine.
You don't let Justin
in your biceps to get ready for spring break?
Yep, definitely. Right side.
Strong side.
I don't know.
You don't know where you'd put them?
There's so many good spots.
I think I'd put them in my cheek like I've got a dip.
From the south, for sure, right there.
Put it like right here.
Look, where'd you put your pellets?
My left toe.
I don't know. Left toe. Don't put Luke on the spot.
I don't know. I'm not good.
Need to prepare these thoughts in advance.
I'll put them in my kneecap.
I'm gonna put it on the left lateral aspect of my kneecap.
You know, I had a bone chip off my kneecap. Maybe I should it got removed. I'll fill it in with my. They'll never find it.
What is it that an athlete is doing now that is legal? But and they realize, oh crap, we're gonna change the laws. Like Denis Pankratov, what he did. You know who Pankratov is?
Nope.
Yeah, he breathed to his side.
He breathed. He would do butterfly kicks underwater. For, yeah. He was one of the first ones to do that, uh-huh. And he would skull like this in the front, right? So they changed the law because of Pankratov.
We had Lochte rule.
We had a Lochte rule. We had
what's a Lochte rule?
He would go on his back, right? We so had in the 2 IM. He would kick. He would kick on his back, 15 meters on the freestyle leg, and then turn over. So they're saying that. On the freestyle leg
for Lochte,
you have
the Japanese Bashoka Kosiko
Kosuke Kitajima.
Yeah, they changed the rule for him. Mm-hmm. They changed so Forbes full body suit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so what? But those all were legal and fine. And in baseball, it was not illegal to take those drugs at the time, right? That's what they're saying. So what is it now that athletes are doing right now in all sport of swimming that's going to consider? You know, that's an unfair advantage that we need to dial right back. Is there anything you can think of? Is it a supplement? Is it a massage? Is it a diet? Is it the access to sleep hyperbaric chambers? Is it access to unfair advantages that are not fair across the board? Because that's what the suits era was about. It was about athletes getting access to the jackets of the world who couldn't afford to do it. That was one of the arguments for against it, right? Yeah. Unfair advantages right across the sport.
What is like the swimming cast or Semenya?
That's
what comes to mind perhaps, when you say that sort of thing. It's not swimming, but
absolutely. I mean, no, it could be something like that.
It's kind of like that where everybody goes, well, that's not fair,
right? Yeah. So, what is it now?
You're not thinking of anything? That's not fair.
Is it
right or wrong? I mean,
no, totally. Yeah. Is it access to the money? Unfortunately, that's never going to change. You know, the countries that have the most money tend to have the best athletes.
Yeah, I don't know what is going to change next, in all honesty. I think there's a lot of supplements that could go, but who knows which one it could be or why, because that's so, like Brian was alluding to, so fickle. As far as biomechanical, technical things, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I mean, I think breaststroke could get some better regulation on dolphin kicking and things like that, but I don't know how they're going to control that.
Well, that's always the thing. You talk about underwater?
Both, I think. I mean, that's the stroke that's
seen. I'm sure she doesn't get called more often.
I mean,
it sure looks like it. And it long has. I know she's been called on it before, but I mean.
Not that often, though. Not like Miller stuff. Need more.
Well, right, or should there be evolution then? Should we see evolution in swimming? Breaststroke got invented. Butterfly got invented, you know, recently in the last 40 years. Should we see evolution in a new stroke, a new event happen?
Butterfly's new, Justin.
I know that.
Comparatively. Like the 53 is a new. We still talked about new events in a podcast many podcasts ago. Is there a new evolution that can make us go faster in the water? Like
the things
a drug free sport? What about like unlimited underwater race?
Yeah, I mean,
now we're allowing stuff.
We're getting on the Luke tangent game.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, super. What's going to be like? What's the next event we're going to do?
It's the Super Olympics. That's what I'm talking about.
Olympics?
No, I can't think of anything.
Super Olympics? I think that's a good idea.
What are the Super Olympics?
Everything's legal. And I think it will. Dangerous. Become interesting once, you know, people with prosthetics become, and this probably will happen with running quicker than swimming, and I think it already is happening.
A few years ago, the person who
who murdered people,
the guy who killed his girlfriend.
What? Yep.
Oh wait, what?
Osteoporosis.
You only saw the good part of the story.
Yeah. But once you are allowed to do whatever, or people are considering, or people would rather go see. You know,
okay, so people with big hands was the one that always struck me on this. I'm like, what a huge advantage, because we always put on paddles to go faster. But if you got big hands or you get hand implants, there's no reason why you can't get like finger extensions.
Why can't you get finger extensions?
I don't know.
It's not against the rules.
Is it illegal?
There's no rule right now that says.
I don't think so. Why can't you get finger extensions?
Justin,
time to go.
You're going under the knife.
Alrighty.
People always talked about Thorpedo right by size 17 foot.
Exactly.
He had a size 17 foot?
Yeah, how come nobody's talking about that?
What if we gave Justin tripled his hand size and gave him size 25 feet. Do you think he would be Olympic caliber swimmer?
Well, you got to give me a lot of steroids and testosterone.
That's illegal. We're not doing illegal.
No, we want to. Yeah,
come on now. That's over the line, man.
But I want to be illegal.
This is safe.
State-sponsored, core-sponsored body modification.
How much are you going to give me for my bonus?
No, but the ability to control
it. How much do we cost a finger extension, Scott? Yeah.
I remember taking 4-8. My best lactic tolerance set in college is when I had a really bad heartburn because I had 4 hot dogs for lunch and I had to take Tums because I just had a really bad heartburn. And my lactic tolerance set was unbelievable. What if there is a prescription out there, a supplement, that's going to help me control my lactate peaking?
Yeah, so, well, sodium, so I experimented with sodium bicarb before.
That's it, Tom.
Yeah. So, like, sodium bicarbonate, you take, like, a box of Arm & Hammer and dump it in a 16-ounce Gatorade.
Yep, that buffers it.
And chug it before you race.
I had a great race.
And I swam, I remember doing this. I did it at Athens, Georgia, University of Georgia, and 700 free. I cleared, I didn't go fast. It didn't seem to me that it benefited me in the race. But I cleared lactate in like 8 minutes.
Jeez. So caffeine is legal to a limit, but maybe that's legal.
Yeah, but okay, so I'm glad you brought this up though, because that's been a differentiator for like long talked about for Phelps and lactate is that they
exactly
like, clear. They clear it really fast. Production wise, I'm not sure.
Not that high. They don't get that high.
And I don't know about the correlation between like production and power output.
How hard they
because
were
that's what I've heard is like, you know, max power output, you produce a lot more. So like
you do, but neither of those
are
guys
they less were explosive because of the fact that they don't.
Yeah, neither are more max output guys though.
No, true, right? True. Yeah, but like there's a huge benefit to being able to get ready for the next race. I don't know what Dressel. I'd be super interested to know what Dressel tests because
he's going
the guy's
won
so many
he's
races and he still swims fast over and over again. So I have a hard. He obviously clears lactate well.
It's called Greg Troy workouts,
but. No,
you think so? To make him
a lot of people have done Troy stuff.
No, I think it's natural.
A lot of people have done Troy stuff, and
it's incredible to me. Well, and I don't think he's doing Troy workouts. He's doing the sprint workouts. He's not doing what Lochte was doing or anything else.
He's doing some mid-distance workout, supposedly his senior junior.
I'm sure he does some. Yes, we've seen him have good endurance, and he does. But he's not doing the same workout as like
the 400 IM stuff.
Yeah, or even the mid-D guys. So, like, but that's a great one that is untapped and been experimented with for a while.
Yeah,
but
research
Robin
that
said
it helps out.
Carm is it gives you the runs.
So this 8 espresso was right before you swim 50 free. But that's legal.
What?
But then you're so jittery too. That's like
anxious.
You can almost like overdo it.
So it's I know. What if we find out that a ketogenic diet is something that has an unfair advantage and we can't afford that? You need to have some level of carbs in your body or something like that. You know, it's interesting.
A lot of people will say that, or Dr. Tim Noakes thinks that it is a performance enhancing, not performance enhancing, but will enhance an ultra endurance performance because it'll get you running on fat versus running on carbohydrate,
different
not creating glycogen and things like that. But
that's why I'm good at a Tahoe swim right now.
Because of the
doesn't matter. You're not even
the fat content.
Yeah, you're on keto.
I'm the fat content.
Oh, gotcha. No. You're running on fat.
Polyunsaturated.
Sounds like insulation in the water.
That too.
I'd probably freeze.
Pull the best one.
Well, maybe that's the next doping for. So the
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Well, we just talked about like there's a long debate about weight too in swimmers. Whether or not, like, you know, a little bit of fat helps with buoyancy and then
distance
create a better body position
stuff.
In the water. So, like, I knew, well, so, I mean, like, Margaret Holzer was a swimmer that, you know, like, I overlapped with at Auburn, and she, like, long said, yeah, I feel, like, better when I've got a little bit on me. And, you know, so, like, she wasn't chasing the whole, you know, like, get super lean. Or just didn't matter. Like, and she was like, you know, a larger swimmer, and she didn't care about that because it felt her be stronger in the water. Whereas, like for me, if I was soft, I didn't feel fast. I wasn't quick, you know. And so, like, there's a different there's confidence to it too. But then there's like that sort of.
Was it a power to weight ratio difference, or was there a bigger volume to push through the water, sort of more resistance? You think when you're a little bit bigger, if you put 5 pounds on, you're putting 5 pounds more. if that 5 pounds is fat, it's detrimental. If it's 5 pounds is muscle, maybe it's better. Then you have a bigger circumference of mass that's moving through the water. It's just like, I don't know. It's interesting for you to
see. Well, I think we're starting to see with more and more athletes that, I think more athletic muscular is good in swimming, and that we're seeing it more and more with athletes. And I think with women, the only deception is that some of them put on muscle, just not as lean as guys do. So maybe someone like Holzer, she liked being a little bit bigger because that was just more muscle mass. Mm-hmm. So she sat better and stronger in the water than necessarily a buoyancy thing than anything. Mm-hmm. So I'm intrigued with that, if there was some, you know, body fat and muscle mass testing done on someone like that. There are, I think, a lot of female swimmers that, you know, and I think female swimmers get the short end of it because, you know, they do bulk up in the shoulders and the lats and all that, and they want to try and lean out for whatever reason. A lot of it's just from, you know, medias and things like this, and it's that they're just muscular in that area, and it's just not lean, you know, seeing their vascularity and things like that, but it's just muscle mass, which is good for their performance.
Mm-hmm. Depends on the swimmer, right? Look at Penelope Bloom versus Kate Campbell.
They're just different, you know. Different swimmers are, yeah, different there for sure. And I think even different specialties are different. You know, the sprint, and this goes to men too. I mean, the sprint men obviously have a different physique than a lot of the distance men.
Yeah, true.
Remember, you used to be able to look at a swimmer, you can tell what event he's from. Most of the time, in general, you can say, "Oh yeah, that guy's 5'10". He's, you know, 170. He's probably a breaststroker, maybe a 200 backstroke or something." You can tell, like. Mm-hmm. But now it's kind of changing around a little bit more. Do you think
we're gonna have to do this one day?
Yeah,
we'll pull up like 20 photos of people that we don't know, and we guess what strokes they do.
Yeah. There you go.
That's true.
Yeah. I think I could a little bit, but I don't know how accurate it really would be. You think you could, Justin?
Probably not. Not anymore.
Should we wrap this up?
Yeah,
I think so.
All right, so in summary, we recapped ISL and the first match.
Second match
is completed. And we thought about it, and then we dove into some thoughts on performance enhancing events and doping.
All right. Hopefully we see, you know, third exhibition or match 3 of ISL, different teams.
World record?
Potentially, maybe. We'll cross our fingers.
We'll see.
John thinks PD's going to break the world record.
Yeah. I'm intrigued.
Go LA Current.
55.6.
I saw a practice video of him going 26.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at last week. Yeah.
You went 26 in practice.
Give me your Bielsa, London, or. All right, that's it.
Sorry, Carly.
That's good.
All right. Have a good day.
Bye.